All right. 2 weeks ago, the Minister of Natural Resources and Forestry, the Honorable John Jakubowski, was on the program, and he had his assistant, Mike Harris, with him, if I recall. And they came on the program to talk to us about the Big Moose program that's in place. It's called the Big Game Management Advisory Committee. And they were given the task to review the current programs and provide advice for a new way of managing the moose harvest here in Ontario. Because as we all know, moose has been in the news for the last 5 years, but not in a good way. Declining numbers have really raised our, even if we're not hunters, we're all of a sudden interested in moose because the numbers are going down and we need to find out. Yeah. And the first people that you can point to, because it's very easy to do that, it always is the hunters. Say, ah, there's the reason why our moose aren't doing well, because the hunters are
those
up there.
Those meat eaters.
Exactly. Let's get on those guys. So the Big Game Management Advisory Committee was put together, and they studied it all and reported back to the minister and his aides on what they recommend. And joining us now is Bruce Ranta, who is a retired Ministry of Natural Resources wildlife biologist. Bruce is also a big game hunter himself. He loves fishing and is a big game columnist for the Ontario Outdoors magazine. And he joins us this morning to talk to us about the Big Mac. Good morning. How are you, Bruce?
Good morning. I'm doing well, thanks.
Excellent. Did I pretty much sum that all up correctly? The hunter is always the one that gets blamed?
Well, hunters always get blamed to some degree, but certainly it's not hunters that are responsible in its entirety for the decline in the moose population. There's a large number of factors contributing to what goes on in moose populations in Ontario and around the world.
Now, I mentioned that you're a hunter yourself, so I'm assuming you hunt moose and deer and are very familiar with the various approaches used in other provinces in terms of moose management.
Yeah, I hunted moose here in Ontario for over 50 years. I've hunted moose in Manitoba, and I hunt big game in Alberta, and I just came back from hunting big game in Africa, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, I'm fairly familiar with different jurisdictions and what they do, and there's a large variety of things that are done for managing big game all around the world.
How are we doing? What talk to me about this Big Mac report. How does it look to you? Are we on the right track with it?
Well, it's a very comprehensive report. They spent a lot of time and effort and put a lot of thought into it. So there's a number of things I like about what they said. The business of abandoning this preferred pool approach, pool one and pool two, and going to a stand-in-line system, I think that's inherently a good idea, and it's much fairer to the hunters. I like that system. It's the system they use in Alberta. And it seems to work reasonably well out there, and I think I just think it's fairer and it's a better system. I think the idea of controlling calf harvest is a good idea. I mean, you just can't. They're the future moose, young moose.
Yeah. And
controlling how many calves can be harvested has been part of the moose management system in places like Sweden and Finland for a long, long time, and it works reasonably well there. And the idea that we could harvest moose or calf moose here sort of indiscriminately, it was never a proven theory. It was a thought that maybe it would be what biologists call compensatory, that it didn't matter if you shot a bunch of calf moose because X number were going to die in a first year regardless. But that didn't pan out, and it just became additive, so which would just meant that calf moose hunters were shot were just being added to how many calf moose died from other reasons, whether it be wolves or bears or disease or parasites or whatever. So controlling calf moose harvest, that's a good thing. I like that too.
I love it. Yeah.
So those are a couple of really good things that are in the report. I'm not real keen on maintaining a preferred hunter status. If you're in Northern Ontario, I think, you know, people live all over the world. You may live in Northern Ontario for 6 months a year, and maybe the Bahamas for 5 months. And so I'm not real keen on that. It's not a big issue, but I just don't like that really myself.
It should be a level playing field for everybody who wants to hunt, in my opinion. I think the minute that you start putting, you know, exceptions to the rules here and there and add that and subtract, it becomes murky. And that's where they're at right now with it. I think it needs to be leveled right down. Take a bulldozer and just level it flat.
No, I agree with that. That's my approach, too. I also don't like the other thing that they have in the report that I really don't like is the tendency to want to switch more and more of the harvest or maintain a high harvest or a high, relatively high allocation for bow hunters. And it's not against bow hunting, but no. Bow hunting before the rut is over and harvesting mature bulls disrupts the social hierarchy of the moose population. There aren't that many adult bull moose in any given area. You start removing adult bull moose before the rut is over, and breeding takes place then by younger, immature bulls, possibly, and that results in the breeding season being extended over a longer period of time than it should. I mean, we hired back in the 80s Tony Bubenek, the most renowned ungulate biologist in the world, to advise Ontario as to how to harvest moose. And he said that you had to let the moose rut go relatively unmolested by hunters. And that meant at the time that don't have the season open for anyone before October. Basically, before the early October. You could have hunting starting at the tail end of the rut, still gave hunters the opportunity to call moose in, but the rut was by and large over, and calving then the next spring was all done in a very short period of time, and it swamped predators, wolves and bears, that are good at finding calves because they're all born at a very short period of time, so they're... the mortality from predation is relatively low. But if you extend that calving period for a month or 6 weeks, well, wolves and bears get very good at finding calves, and they just pick them off, and that's not a good idea.
They know exactly what to do. Bruce, can you sit tight for a second? I got to go to a break here. We're running way over time, but I got a couple more questions to ask you. So just sit tight with me, my friend. Bruce Ranta from retired Ministry of Natural Resources biologist from Kenora. More Journal left. This, don't you dare go away.
Good morning. This is Sean Kelly from Black Angus Fine Meats and Game. And when I'm not at the dump, I am listening to ODJ Radio every Saturday morning.
That's a great endorsement for sure. welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Labadie. We have Derek Brandeo, Dan Marino on the board today, in case you're wondering. On the line with us is Bruce Ranta. He is a retired Ministry of Natural Resources biologist in Kenora. And the reason we have him on, a couple of weeks ago, we had the Minister of Natural Resources and Forestry on, the Honorable John Jakubowski, talking about the program that they're going to, I'm assuming, in the very near future, unveil. And it was all due to a committee called the Big Game Management Advisory Committee that reported back to the ministry on what their views and opinions were based on the information that they were able to gather regarding the management of the moose harvest here in Ontario. Because if you don't know, the moose has got some serious problems. And I think we need to underscore the word serious. And so we thought we'd bring Bruce on. He is a big game hunter himself, so he's very familiar with the species and certainly has hunted them here and in other parts of the world as well. And thought we'd get him on and get his views and opinions. So, Bruce, there's something that we kind of skipped over, and I want to get your take on this. You know, as we found out from Dr. Cook, who was on the program about a half hour ago, that science is not perfect. It's often skewed, based on the people who are doing the research. They could look at things sort of with an opinion, and they could also be taking the data from a particular point in time on the timeline, which might or might not affect the overall populations of whatever they're testing. In this case, we're talking moose. The reason I bring that up is because I find this whole moose thing rather interesting. I've been looking at the numbers. I'm not a moose hunter. I do want to come out and tell folks that. I've never hunted, not because I don't believe in it, or I just don't have the time for it, so I've never done it. But I find it kind of interesting that we're trying to manage a species, in this case the moose, based on the numbers that we are able to garner from less than 50% of the people involved in the harvesting of this animal. And that number is based on fact, meaning that the hunters that we know that are licensed to take moose legally each year represent less than half of the total hunting population. And that's what we're basing all of our studies on, that number. And my question to you, Bruce, is how in the hell can you take half of the number, half of the inventory that was in the warehouse, and base all of your future inventory on that number without knowing where the other half is going? And in this case, and I don't mind saying, the Aboriginal communities in the rural parts of this province use the moose not as sport, but they need it as sustenance. So it's very important to them. I'm not suggesting that they should not hunt or kill moose or take be part in the harvest. What I'm saying is, how can we not have their numbers? How much of the inventory is going to them, and why can we not get numbers on that? Bruce?
Well, there are some numbers. I mean, people do have an estimate, and they do talk to First Nations communities and the Métis communities. So there is some numbers there, but it is a basic problem when you have an unmanaged, unregulated hunt going on, and I don't think that's benefiting anyone, and nor the moose. So at some point, people have to get past this, thing. It's what the courts rule as terms of rights, and you still need some sort of a regulatory framework that people can agree to as to how you harvest moose, because moose don't really care if the bullet or the arrow comes from whomever. Moose is dead. So, it's the same with we have to get a better handle on what the predation is, and there's habitat issues. There's a whole host of issues, and all of them, you just can't ignore anyone and pretend that, we'll just ignore that factor and everything will be hunky-dory. So whether it's habitat or predation by wolves or rights-based hunting or license hunting, all of those factors have to come to the table or we're going to be nowhere fast. And I think that's where we are almost, is nowhere in some places. And it's not going anywhere because we're just sort of turning a blind eye and not pretending that we don't have to know something that we do actually have to know.
Yeah, and we're talking to non-hunters as well here, not just hunters. We're talking to non-hunting community as well. I mean, it should be of concern. Anytime that we've got wildlife that it may or may not, by the way, due to over-harvesting, be in trouble. And I say may or may not because, you know, as Bruce just mentioned, there's all kinds of natural causes that we don't seem to really want to concern ourselves with when we're taking inventory. So,
like where I live, everybody in northwestern Ontario, around Kenora, up until the early 90s, in the 80s and the 90s, we had about almost 6,000 moose in the three wildlife management units that surround Kenora, and the population now is about 300. And that has very little to do with the hunting. Wow. I mean, hunting was one factor, but what happened was we had these great big forest fires, very natural, and in the aftermath of forest fires and a logging industry that was booming at the time, it created a huge amount of tremendous moose habitat, and the moose took advantage of it. But then a series of factors, the forest aged, and we had a change in the composition of the forest and some mild winters. The deer population exploded, and at the end of the day, the moose population has collapsed, and it's in a slow, slow recovery now. But that had... So there's lots of things that go on when it comes to what's happening with the moose population, and we got to be upfront, and we can't pretend that where there's a one magic bullet that's going to solve the problem.
No, absolutely. Listen, Bruce, I want to thank you for joining us this morning. Really, really appreciate your input and shedding some light on the whole situation here. What can folks do? Anybody listening out there who, you know, who maybe was not concerned before, but all of a sudden is concerned, what can they do?
Well, I think there's a number of things you can do. You can talk to your MPP. You can join the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters and get your input into that organization. They have biologists and on their staff. You can try and be involved in things like forest management planning process, because there's an opportunity where to actually manage and improve moose habitat through forest harvesting or forest management, which includes harvesting and renewal and tending and all that kind of stuff. So there's a number of things that people can do to get involved, and I think the people who are concerned, they should get involved. And there's other wildlife organizations out there, and lots of them, whether they're pro-hunting or non-hunting, lots of them have input into what the government is doing in terms of policy and regulations. And whatever sort of organization you feel comfortable dealing with, you should check it out, environmental groups, the wildlife groups, blah, blah, and it can make a difference.
Excellent, my friend. Well put. Bruce, we appreciate you joining us.
I had a good time. Thanks. I hope people learned a little bit.
And so did I. Thanks, buddy. Bruce Ranta, a retired Ministry of Natural Resources biologist. That's a big, long title.
Yeah.
In Kenora, and an avid outdoors person who has got an interesting viewpoint on what's going on with this whole advisory commission deal.